Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. I'm happy and honored to be sitting here today in, how do you pronounce the name of this place?
San Luis Obispo.
Obispo. And the voice you just heard is Joe Johnson Jr. of Really Right Stuff. And so it's great to be here with you today, Joe.
Thanks, it's great being here with you.
So what we're going to do is just have a quick talk, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about Really Right Stuff. It's no secret that I love the gear that you make, and it really is a thrill for me to be here today with you in your new premises. So let's talk a little bit about that. Firstly, the history of Really Right Stuff. And I know that you'll be speaking for your dad a lot about this, Joe Johnson Sr.,
right.
Who couldn't be with us today. But I'd like to sort of just ask, how did Really Right Stuff start?
Well, it started back in 1990, actually. Oh. It was a photographer that was really getting into the movement himself. He wasn't a professional photographer, mostly a hobbyist that wanted to get a little bit more serious and saw that there was a need for support for his camera equipment. And he loved the Arca Swiss system.
Yeah.
That was something that he was really inspired by.
Yeah.
He did find that there was a lack of more customized support within that system, though. And he wanted to make it so that when you attached a plate to your camera, for example, it wouldn't spin on you. And that was a big problem at the time. Mm. So he decided to come up with his own proprietary system, and he basically started the company out of his garage. The traditional startup company. So
was that Joe Sr.?
No,
that was another. Yeah, okay.
His name was Brian Geyer.
He was
the original owner of the company. And
oh, I see. Yeah.
It wasn't until several years later that my dad even knew about Really Right Stuff. My dad was an avid photographer. He loved photography. He was trying to get into the hobby. He always enjoyed the more artistic aspects of the hobby. At the time, he was actually a businessman living overseas in the Philippines, Taiwan, mainland China.
Got it.
Doing the business, food business, actually.
I see.
And he was using photography as his catharsis, his outlet for his creative side. And so it wasn't until he was on a workshop, I believe, with John Shaw that he discovered Really Right Stuff. And then after that workshop, he was a customer of Brian's. And around 2002, there had been some changes in the company that my dad was working at. And he was ready to move on from that industry. And he was looking at some things that he could be doing, and he actually had a catalog from Brian, saw that he was getting on in his years, and just thought he'd ask if he ever had any ideas or thoughts of selling the company.
Mm.
So he called him up and 2 a.m. for my dad and just, asked. And Brian actually said yes, he was. And
wow.
In fact, right then he was entertaining some offers for the company. So they went into negotiations, and just a few months later, my dad bought the company, moved from Shanghai, China, over to Los Osos, actually, which is a tiny little town just neighboring San Luis, and started selling camera plates out of his garage.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a cool story. So after that, it was probably your dad that brought the beauty. I mean, I really do appreciate that you not only create functionally excellent products, but they look. I mean, I was saying earlier as we were chatting that I'd taken a photo of my 34L and put it on Google Plus, and and someone, all I said it was that it looks really sexy, and someone told me I should get out more.
Right.
But I really do love it. See, the first product that I bought of yours was the BH55 ball head,
mm-hmm.
on recommendation from a friend, and I, from the moment I saw his, it was just very, the knurling, everything on it is just so well done. Where does that come from? Where does that aesthetically pleasing aspect of your gear come from?
Well, I got to hand that all to my dad. He's been very much into the aesthetics of things that he creates. He was a carpenter and a house builder is what he used to get himself through school.
I see.
And from that, it just kind of carried through into his other aspects of his life. And he's always taken great pride in his work. And so he's always wanted to come up with something that he could be very proud of at the end of the day. And he has an attention to detail that is hardly surpassed by anybody. And his love for art and beauty and architecture and just the overall fit and finish of a product, really just, he pours all of that energy into the things that he makes. And so that's where he draws a lot of his drive, his inspiration from.
I see. That makes a lot of sense, that a photographer, someone that loves the artistic stuff, engineering things with the same love. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's incredible. So we were talking earlier, even on my 34L tripod legs, that you've got that weave pattern in there.
Right, right.
That is unique to Really Right stuff as well, right?
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. It's something there that not only makes it look really cool, but it actually has a purpose. It helps increase the material's ability to absorb vibration as well as give it extra strength.
So I see.
It was kind of two birds with one stone. Looks good and performs better.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing some long exposures on the windy shores of San Francisco over this last week, and it hasn't moved a millimeter. So
great.
It's obviously working. I know that you can't talk very deeply about a lot of this, but you showed me earlier that you have these new prototype machines that will allow you to build prototypes without having to stop your main production line. How will that affect Really Right stuff and your ability to create and get new products to the market?
Well, essentially, it's going to make the process a lot faster. So we'll be able to get products out much quicker in response to the release by other manufacturers. So Canon, Nikon, when they come out with a camera or they come out with a new lens, we're going to be able to make a product much more rapidly now that we've got these machines.
Yeah. So when you do a prototype, typically how many iterations of a prototype will you make?
Oh, it really depends on the project. The really simple projects, like our camera plates, those could be done in one, maybe two iterations, sometimes three or four, depending on how difficult the project was. The 5D Mark III took several, whereas the D800, the Nikon D800, we were able to get that done in one or two.
I see.
Projects like our tripods, the ball heads, those take many, many different prototypes. And a lot of it will be simple proof of concept prototypes where we're just trying to nail down one particular issue instead of doing the entire project as a whole. And that way it cuts down on prototyping as well.
I see. So yeah, you gave me a quick look at the CAD screen earlier, and we brought up the BH55.
Right.
And there's a lot in there. I didn't realize that there was so much inside that head.
It
doesn't seem that complicated when you're using it, but I suppose that's because it's been designed well and you don't have to know about all of that stuff. But there's a lot in there, so I can imagine that's going to be a big process.
Yeah, there. I think there's more than 50 individual parts running inside of the BH55 ball head, and it's difficult to make them all work in tandem with each other so that there's the synergy that everybody appreciates in the after product. But the CAD works, and having the prototyping machines, that really makes the process a lot easier and faster.
I'm sure. So you also touched there on the camera plates, and I've just picked up a new camera plate for my 1DX, Canon 1DX, and you've moved to a modular design there. So you can have it just as the base plate, or you can have the make an L plate out of it, or an extended L plate with cable room and stuff like that.
Right.
So is that something that you plan to do more of?
We do. It'll be on a limited case-by-case basis, depending on the camera itself that it mates with. But it is a design that we love. We're really excited about it, and we want to have more of those features in other camera body plates, especially the tool, the integrated tool holder inside the plate.
Everyone I've shown that to so far not only loves the modular design, but the fact that you can just store the hex key right there.
Right, right.
That's a big plus. Everyone seems to be really enjoying that. Good move.
Thanks.
One question that came up to me when I first saw that was, how long do you think that the magnet that holds it in, is that going to be pretty much last many, many years? It's not going to get weak and start to drop out.
It should hold indefinitely, so long as the glue holds in. Or sorry, actually, it's a set screw holds the magnet in place. So you should probably go in every once in a while and make sure that it's tightened down.
Got it.
But the magnet itself will hold indefinitely. Typically, magnetic items will lose magnetism if you drop them, if you subject them to heat. Mm. But normal use, it'll be fine for years, longer than the life of the body.
And that's probably the big thing, because a lot of the time, I know that I end up replacing my L plates every 2 or 3 years anyway.
Right.
With the new bodies, I probably should be dropping them on eBay or something, but I've got a whole stash of old L plates.
A museum, huh?
Yeah. I should probably give them away or something. But that's great. So, what about the future of Really Right Stuff? Do you have any new projects that you probably can't talk about them and give your competitors an edge, but
right.
Is there anything new coming up?
We have several new projects that we're really excited about. They should be released probably around Q2 of next year, right around that time frame. We're really excited about we've always got something on the burner. Mm. So we'll have a few new things that will be coming up, a new tripod that's going to be quite different from what we currently have, and we're really excited about some of the functionality. I can't go into the details, it's something that we've been anticipating for a while and working out the kinks. And we just got a prototype back for it, and it exceeded our expectations, so it should be really soon that we're able to get that out. The super secretive projects that we can't really talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
That'll be later next year.
So people should just really keep their eyes out on the reallyrightstuff.com website, and I know that everything you do is going to be excellent, and I'll be looking forward to taking a look and maybe replacing my 34L at some point, but. It really has been a pleasure just catching up with you today, and I wish you the best of luck. You don't really need it. You've got a huge user base, I'm sure, and there are everyone I know that owns anything from Really Right Stuff always seems to fall in love with it. But really, it's been a pleasure talking with you today, and best of luck for the future.
Thanks so much, Martin. It's been great having you here. And anytime you want to come visit again, we'd love to have you.
I would love to. I actually drove down here this morning from Cupertino, 3 hours. But it's a nice road as well. I'm going to drive back along the coast and try and grab some
beautiful
photos.
Drive.
Yeah.
Beautiful drive.
Okay. Well, really, thanks so much, Joe. It's been a pleasure meeting you this morning.
Thank you, Martin.
Okay, so just a little additional note here at the end. I know the audio quality is not great. I'm recording using my H2 Zoom digital recorder as a mic into my computer and then into GarageBand. It's not great, but neither was the audio in the interview that we just had. We were in like an empty room pretty much, so a lot of echo, but I think I'm figuring that it's better than nothing, so please just bear with me on that for this next few weeks. But I'm in my hotel room. It's New York, and I'm leaving for Toronto tomorrow, having a great time on doing the Pixels to Pigment workshops. We did San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and then New York this last weekend just gone. And we're going to Toronto for the 29th, 30th. And we're going to be in London on the 6th and the 7th. And it's just, they're going really well. If you'd like to join us on either of those, even if you pick this up quickly, if you're in Toronto, this coming Friday,
We have some spaces free still, so you'll be very welcome. Just go to pixels2pigment.com, and that's T-O or number two, both will take you there. And you know, we're basically streamlining the digital workflow. It's pretty Lightroom centric, but it's got value for any photographer really. But then, you know, we're color managing the entire workflow from pixel to pigment. So that obviously means that we're getting to printing as well. And we really expand on my making the print ebook that we put out from Craft and Vision. But we do a lot of practical exercises on exposure and on the color management, and then on the printing side. And we're basically printing for most of the group at the moment. And we're just doing soft proofing techniques. I'm showing people how I do my prints. And we're just printing print after print, really, that just comes straight out of the printer looking beautiful. And that's the beauty of it. You know, once you've got a control over all of this stuff, it all just works. It's very stress-free. And I'm finding that, you know, the people that have joined us so far have had lots of great things to say about the material we're covering. And I'm looking forward to getting started in Toronto this coming weekend and then over to London the weekend after that. If you'd noticed, the Australia workshops were cancelled. That was really because, you know, it's a lot of expense to actually get over to a country. And although there were a fair number of people that said that they were going to join us during the planning phase, it didn't happen. So there was, you know, there was just really a handful of people that signed up, and it wasn't going to be enough to cover my expenses. So we cancelled those. But, you know, the Toronto and London are going ahead. I'm traveling now. I'm going to be there in just a few days. So look forward to seeing you if you can make it. And I'd also just like to say, you know, although that was a relatively brief interview with the Really Right Stuff guys, we spoke to Joe Jr. there, but his dad, Joe Sr., did come back from a business meeting that he had in the morning while I was there, and we went out for lunch together, and it was just great. They really are an amazing family and an amazing company. So I'm looking forward to meeting them again at some point. But do check out their stuff at reallyrightstuff.com as well. So I'm going to be getting off now. I do apologize for the quality of this recording, but there's not a lot I can do about it at the moment. And P&H is closed for the holidays, so I couldn't run out and buy a new mic either. Okay, you can catch me and everything I'm into at martinbaileyphotography.com. And I'm also on Google Plus and Twitter and, you know, all of the social media sites. So catch up with me on your social media site of choice. But Google Plus is probably the best place, because that's where I spend most of my time these days. Okay, so thanks for listening, and take care whatever you're doing. And I'll speak to you again very soon. Bye-bye.